It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll talk with Mark in a moment. First off, Amy France, chair of the National Sorghum Producers on ethanol.
People that are living in the heart of sorghum, you know, we've got some great ethanol plants out here in western Kansas, but a lot of people don't realize that sorghum can be used in ethanol. So we've been kind of ticking up our involvement and education in that way. You know, it really is supply and demand, what those prices look like on the board. And so I know we had an ethanol plant just south of us using 90% sorghum in their ratio. So there's no question that sorghum can be used and does it well. So we are excited to continue to have those conversations and move sorghum into those ethanol plants as we're truly having a little bit of a situation where do we go with all of this excess?
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, representing the largest contiguous cotton patch in the world. Yeah, the largest contiguous cotton patch in the world. It's hard to believe, but it's kind of centered around that Lubbock, Texas area, right, Mark?
Yes, sir. I believe we can still lay claim to that, and so... of course, our area covers 42 counties. It covers the Southern High Plains and all the way up into the Texas Panhandle. And so covers everything from down around Big Spring and Midland all the way up to the New Mexico line and the Oklahoma Panhandle line and then over to the edge of the Caprock.
So... harvest season is underway. How would you describe where we are today?
I think that especially down around the Lubbock, down around the Floyd County, Hale County area, I think we've gotten a pretty good jump on harvest up to this point. And so that's good news. Also, as we speak here, I have made some travels up through the Panhandle. And there has been a little bit of cotton harvested here. There has been some cotton ginned up here in the Panhandle as well. However, a lot of the ginns are catching up because over the weekend we did get some moisture. There was moisture up here in this area. And as you know, in that Lubbock area, there was a lot of heavy fog over the last few days, which kept everything damp and kind of hampered the harvest conditions. But we are getting a good start. Whenever we look at the LAMESA and the Lubbock classing offices combined, in their reports that they released at the end of the week last week, the two of those offices combined had taken grades from samples of about 70,000 bales. And so we are pushing right on along. And as we talk about those grades, one thing that I can report to people is that I am hearing good stories about grade situation. So most of these grades are coming back and are very decent. And we are certainly glad to see that. Now, we know that some of these dry land fields did get heat stressed and moisture stressed back in August. And so we did see the effects of that on some of these dry land fields with a little bit shorter staple than we would like to see and possibly some light spots in there. But for the most part, grades have been very good. And of course, we know that unfortunately we don't have a strong cotton price. So we need these grades to be all that they can be so that we can get as much as possible out of them. And then the other good news that I have to report is that as I travel the countryside, I'm hearing good reports of yields and people that are pleased with their yields. Now, as we talked about all season long, we know that the rainfall was highly variable this season. And so a lot of those yields are going to be very dependent on how much rain that you got during the growing season and at what time of the season that you got it. But I'm hearing of some very good dry land yields. I'm hearing of anywhere from 700 to 900 pounds in places on the non-irrigated cotton crop. So we're proud to hear that, and we hope that those kind of reports continue as we get further into the harvest.
So, again, when we step back, we're looking at a larger crop already, or at least the anticipation of it. How important is that for the infrastructure, and what, you know, any ideas on how big this could go?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we are very pleased that we are going to have more of a crop this year than we have had in the past. Now, when we look long term at the 42 county area, typically our long term average is around 3.7 million bales. And so I don't know that anybody expects to hit that. I don't think we're going to have any kind of record-breaking year this year. But, again, a very decent year. The last 3 years, as you know, we have had very short crops, down in the range of around 1.5 million bales. Last year, we had about 2.2 million. And so we do think that we will see a little better than last year. So as far as for the last three seasons, it is going to be a better harvest this time in terms of production, which is so important for these area gins, because these gins have really suffered due to the lack of production, and they've suffered financially. And so, again, not a record-breaking year this year, but we're thankful for everything that we have out here on the plains.
Again, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Calling all beef cattle producers, you're invited to attend the all-new beef cattle presentation and roundtable discussions at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show on Wednesday, December 3rd. The new program will provide insight, inspiration, and industry perspective for beef producers. The event agenda will include a series of roundtable discussions led by a panel of respected industry leaders focusing on current topics in the beef industry. Attendees will gain practical takeaways and have the opportunity to visit with experts and fellow producers. The evening will conclude with a dinner and message from keynote speaker Dr. Kemple Grandin. The choice ribeye steak dinner will benefit District 1 Texas Panhandle 4-H Friends and Alumni Association. Find out more or get your tickets at AmarilloFarmShow.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers. Another area that, again, I just don't know how many people know this, but the government shutdown has kind of kept us from keeping a good pulse on at least what they believe the size of the crop is. It's all part of this government shutdown. Has that affected producers? And we have some FSA offices open too. So kind of wind all that together and see if you can put a bow on that mess I just handed you.
Well, no, I'm glad that you brought all of that up, because certainly this government shutdown, now closing in on a month long, it has certainly impacted the agriculture industry in a lot of different ways. Of course, it's impacted a lot of industries, but ag has not been without some repercussion on this. And one of the things that we all rely on are these weekly crop estimates, the crop condition reports. We also rely very heavily on the LOSD numbers, on U.S. supply and demand. And those numbers have not been coming in to the industry. And so a lot of these markets are just more or less flying blind and flying by what the rumor is that is out there currently. And so that certainly does have an impact. Another thing that I want to explain to your listeners is that our producers, they are certainly in need of funding right here toward the end of the season and before they've been able to sell most of their crops. And So they're certainly short from a standpoint of cash flow. And there are several payments that typically come around this time of year that producers were due. And with the government shutdown, those payments were not received. Now, as of last Thursday, the USDA did open up on a limited basis these county FSA offices to go back in there and to work on catching up on some of these payments that were due to producers. And we are very grateful for that because that cash flow was much needed. And when I'm talking about payments, I'm talking about things such as CRP payments that were due to many producers. Also, last year's farm bill payments, which would include either your PLC payment or your ARC payment, those were due. And so there have been many things, as well as trying to finish up this stage one of the SDRP, and which is the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program. And so all of these things combined are going to be very helpful to a lot of producers as they see payments coming into their bank account. And we're grateful that they did find the means to open these county offices back up, even if on a limited basis. And hopefully this this government shutdown won't last too much longer, and they'll be able to get back on track and back down to the business of the American public.
Again, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers. Before we go, a couple of minutes left here, but is there anything else we need to keep in mind? Anything else we need to be watching?
Well, you know, one thing that I might mention, we're very close to the average freeze date, and we've got some freeze warnings out. And by the time some of your listeners hear this, we may have already had a hard freeze in some locations. And so that is needed and it's timely. But I just would encourage producers to give that plenty of time to let those crops dry down after a freeze, and certainly watch about turning cattle in after a freeze. Watch about getting in too early and stripping cotton. If you're not careful, you can certainly get in there before that plant dries down good, and you can see some bark contamination that could occur from that. And it's always good to let those plants air out and drop more leaves. And that time of year, and as we move into winter, we'll see what we can do about wrapping up this harvest for this 2025 growing season.
Okay, Mark, we want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers. Can we find you online?
Yes, sir, absolutely. You can always find us at plainscotton.org. And there on our website, you can see our weekly newsletter, and you can see several ways to make connection with us so that you can follow us on a regular basis.
Again, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Beef demand is at an all-time high.
University of Nebraska at Lincoln, livestock economist Elliot Dennis.
We're at the highest levels that we've ever experienced, and by a long shot, we've had record demand. And really what we see is that beef tends to be a high feature item. People, when they're going, they're spending, you know, their basket of goods. Beef is a huge value of that, and retailers know that. They're featuring beef at all-time levels. And consumers are continuing to pay higher prices, and that's why we're seeing kind of that demand go up. When we think about kind of relative prices, we think they can buy different either beef or they can buy pork. Consumers are continuing to buy beef products, even though there are alternative substitutes, and really what we call that elasticity, how price-sensitive people are. But they've really shown some resilience that, you know, I think kind of entering kind of these different phases of potentially of kind of where demand is and how much substitution actually happens amongst consumers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.